Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. Well, we're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes, get ready to go to another level in your life. Because it's all about entrepreneurs. We have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, and the tools for you to be a successful entrepreneur. Well, we hope that you enjoy the show. And don't forget, invite a friend. The show is going to be awesome. And now, your host, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the broadcast this morning. We have another exciting episode for you. Good morning, brother, professor, author, playwright, publisher, Terry Benjamin. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm fine. All that and a bag of chips. Yeah, hey, I tell you, I'm excited this morning. You know, we're going to definitely take it to the next level, to another level, you know.
You are the bag of chips and the chip. Potatoes
thank
growing.
Thank you so much.
Potatoes growing in your backyard. So welcome to every one of you this morning. We're going to get underway in just a moment. We want to give people an opportunity, get time to tune in, because this is one episode that I got a feeling you don't want to miss. So call in 347-945-7991. Go to the chat room. Go to blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs. Do whatever you got to do to get on to this broadcast this morning and listen in on this. This topic is dynamite. Going to be talking about when good enough is no longer good enough. It's time to become exceptional. Powerful, powerful topic. Professor Terry Benjamin is going to take all of the misery and the mystery out of becoming an exceptional public speaker. Woo, 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 woo. As they would say, yippee, yippee-yay. So I got to go on and make sure I repost that a few more times, because I know some people, if they only knew what we were going to be talking about today, they would be on the line, because there are absolutely some people who definitely, definitely need this topic on today. So I want to give people a moment to go on and get ready and get on, so they can get on and get in and get down and get up.
Yeah, so you know, it's time to do that. You know, it's time to stop talking and do something.
Yeah, they want to get in, get on, get down, so they can go up.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of people are talking about, you know, they want to move to the next level, but they don't understand that, you know, it goes back to what you do, Lisa. I mean, they need coaching. I mean, we have so many people who have so much potential, but they need coaching. It's like a world-class athlete. He has all the skills, all the potential, all the talent, but he still needs coaching. He still needs somebody to sort of step back and look at him and bring him to the next level. And this is what we're trying to do this morning on this particular program. We're trying to bring you to the next level of your greatness.
Wow. You know, I tell people all the time, see, that's what self-development, that's the heart of self-development.
Oh,
yes, is when yes. you see topics like this, mm-hmm. jump on it.
Yes, you know, yes.
I was at a vendor. I mean, I was at an event the other day where there were vendors, mm-hmm. and I had one of the tables out there offering the coaching program to coach people to live their dream life.
Oh, great, great.
Yeah. Yes, yes, we have the Release Your Power coaching program, and with that program, we help people tap into their authenticity so that they can be the best they can be and live the life of their dreams.
Yes.
But there were people there with, you know, the jewelry and the handbags and the hats, and, you know, the people were flocking to those tables.
Yes, yes.
But when it comes to that self-development, need that. I need another purse. I need another purse. Development? Nah, I'm good.
Well, they think that going to get these stuff that's prepared for them is the easiest thing, but you know what? It's like that old parable that says, you know, teach a man, if I give a man a fish, he can eat for a day, but if I teach him to fish, he can eat forever. And that's what we're talking about. We're trying to give people tools where they can generate what they need, not just on a daily basis, but forever. So this whole thing about all about entrepreneurs is really about helping you become that person that's going to change your life and make a lot fuller than it is right now. I mean, so I know sometimes we want the quick fix, but you know what? That quick fix, it just don't last.
Yes, and, you know, and people have to, you know, really, I mean, we're trying to, like you said, move you up to another level. We want you to go to another level in your life. And so this broadcast today is going to do just that for people. And so I'm going to let you take it away, Terry, but I absolutely love the topic. Enough is just not good enough. You know, you got to really go to the next level and really, you know, take your life, you know, very, very seriously. But I love this formula you're going to give us, so take it away. I can't wait to hear it. I'm going to be taking some serious notes over here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Lisa. I really appreciate it. Again, we're talking about something that every entrepreneur needs. You need to be able to present your message, yourself, in the best possible light. But you can't do that unless you have the tools. So what we're doing today is giving you the tools to become not just a presenter, but become an exceptional presenter. I mean, when you look in the dictionary, you look at that word exceptional. It really says here it is better than usual. It goes beyond usual. It goes beyond the point where it goes to excellence. So we want to be the exceptional presenter because we want to stand out. There's a lot of entrepreneurs out here, a lot of people selling different things, but it really is the most from what you have to sell, what you have to offer. You have to stand out. And the way to stand out is to become that exceptional presenter. I mean, we live in an era where good enough is just not good enough. It's time to become exceptional. And the book I'm presenting today is a bestseller. It was a bestseller on the New York Times. This also a bestseller on the Wall Street Journal. And so I find myself, as I develop myself more and more, I'm getting away from reading so much fiction. I'm more toward the nonfiction, more toward the business end of it. And I think that's really by design. I really need to really get into the whole idea of really personal development on the business level. And so the book I'm talking about today is called The Exceptional Presenter, subtitled A Proven Formula to Open Up and Own the Room. And it's by Timothy J. Cagle. The Exceptional Presenter, A Proven Formula to Open Up and Own the Room by Timothy J. Cagle. And, you know, Lisa, I have a strange habit of when I get a book, especially a book like this, which I know I'm going to read a number of times, I start really with the conclusion. I start from the end of the book, and I work to the beginning of the book. And I just want to share from the conclusion of this particular book. And it says here, congratulations on completing the first part of your journey to becoming an exceptional presenter. What did you do from this point will determine how quickly you reach the exceptional level. As you will soon come to see, improving your ability to present and persuade will affect every aspect of your life. Please remember these three things. Number one, do not accept average when you can be exceptional. Number two, every contact counts. Every interview counts. Every presentation counts. And number three, those who practice improve. Those who don't, don't. Once you achieve exceptional, you will never again accept average. Good luck. And again, this is a strange quirk I have. I start with the conclusion, and then I work my way to the beginning. But this conclusion, these three points, which really are really important, it says here, number one, do not accept average when you can be exceptional. I mean, sometimes we get lazy. Sometimes we get complacent. But when we get lazy and complacent, we really don't move ahead in the way that we can. So number one, do not accept average when you can be exceptional. Number two, every contact counts. Every interview counts. Every presentation counts. People understand that interviews, although they may not be speaking from a platform, are really forms of public speaking. I know when I'm interviewed, I try to put in my mind, and sometimes I even make a note, the things I want to get out to the audience that is hearing this interview. So I make sure, sometimes I might even guide the interviewer let me expound upon these different things. So again, every contact count, every interview count, every presentation counts. And number three, those who practice improve, those who don't, don't. I tell my students when I teach public speaking, rehearse, 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 and rehearse somewhat, but don't beat the presentation to death, but rehearse enough so that you look confident, that you feel confident. Because one of the things about this book, which is so great, it gives us the tools to really become that exceptional speaker. I like what the author, Timothy J. Cagle, said in the beginning of the book. He says here, the exceptional presenter provides the essential skills, techniques, and strategies necessary for you to present yourself and your ideas at an exceptional level to any audience and any venue. And that's so important because you never know when you might get opportunity to speak. And sometimes it's not always planned. Sometimes you may be in a meeting and someone may ask you, you know, what are you doing now? What's the latest thing that you got going? And you got to really be able to stand and deliver. You got to get up and share your message in a way that is helpful to those who hear you, but also helpful to you as an entrepreneur. I like when he goes on and says, the objectives of this book are straightforward and achievable. Number one, this book is designed to help you, one, provide a proven formula that will enable you to communicate at an exceptional level at any venue, at any audience. Number two, share practice methods that help you develop skills that will not fail under pressure. Number three, serve as your personal diary to document your improvement, okay? It says here, look up the word exceptional in the thesaurus. Synonyms include superior, outstanding, excellent, extraordinary, and wonderful. Okay, these are the things that when you become that exceptional presenter, you will become superior. You will become outstanding. You will become excellent. You will become extraordinary, and you will become wonderful. And people will really sort of track you down and invite you to speak at different venues. I find for myself that when I'm invited to speak at different places, people really look forward to me coming, and I look forward to being there. But I want to give them as much as I possibly can, and that means I have to prepare myself. That means I have to really be ready, and that's why I do so much studying of public speaking. I don't think it's a gift. People tell me that I have a gift for that particular activity, but I don't buy that. I know that I really work hard in what I do, and I try to study other speakers, and I look at other speakers, and I see what they do well, and I try to emulate that. But what I like to do is get into this book a little further, and I want to offer something that I hope that everybody who's listening will write this down. Okay, I love acronyms. I love acronyms, and acronyms are words that are put together, but when you break them down, they mean so much more. And so in this book, Timothy J. Cagle offers Open Up as an acronym. Open Up, OPENUP, Open Up. acronym, and I want to break it down because of the O, the P, the E, the N, and the U, and the P stands for specific things, and I really want everybody to write this down here. And then we're going to talk about the other aspect of the book where you start to open up a room. How do you open up a room? But I want to go with the acronym, open up. O. It says here, the exceptional presenter is O, and O is for organized. Exceptional presenters take charge. They look poised and polished. They sound prepared. You get the sense that they are not there to waste time. The goal is not to overwhelm, but to inform, persuade, influence, entertain, or enlighten. Their message is well-structured and clearly defined. O is for organized. P is for passionate. Exceptional presenters exude enthusiasm and conviction. If the presenter doesn't look and sound passionate about his or her topic, why would anyone else be passionate about it? Exceptional presenters speak from the heart and leave no doubt as to where they stand. Their energy is persuasive and contagious. P is for passionate. E is for engaging. Exceptional presenters do everything in their power to engage each audience member. They build rapport quickly and involve the audience early and often. If you want their respect, you must first connect. E is for engaging. N is for natural. An exceptional presenter's style is natural. Their delivery has a conversational feel. Natural presenters make it look easy. They appear comfortable with any audience. A presenter who appears natural appears confident. That is open. O-P-E-N. Organized, passionate, engaging, natural. Open. And up. Open up. And U-P. An exceptional presenter understands their audience. Exceptional presenters learn as much as they can about their audience before presenting to them. The more they know about the audience, the easier it will be to connect and engage. And P, practice. Those who practice improve. Those who don't. Exceptional skills must become second nature. Practice is the most important part of the improvement process. If delivery skills are second nature, they will not fail under pressure. Open up. Organize. Passionate. Engaging. Natural. And understand your audience and practice. Open up. I love this acronym. This is just so great. And then he says, once you open up, you take it to another level and you own the room. What does that mean? Own the room is a term describing an actor who is so completely into character that he walks on stage with total confidence. He owns the room. Owning the room is what will happen to you once you have developed an open communication style. You'll present with total confidence and maintain the highest level of professionalism, even in the most challenging circumstances. You will hold yourself accountable for all the success or failure of your presentation, and you will do whatever it takes to ensure your audience understands and remembers your message. Own the room. Take charge. Make it a situation where you just come on stage and you just pull everybody into what you're doing. Don't leave anyone out. You know, they used to say, you know, when you speak, look at the clock. Don't look at the audience because you might get nervous. But that's not what the exceptional presenters do. It says here, and I quote from page 21, it says here, while most people simply hope to get through the presentation, exceptional presenters prepare and present with their foot on the accelerator and total focus on helping the audience understand their message. The exceptional presenter is always prepared and always looking for ways to refine and improve. And the thing I like about this book is that it helps you, it gives you some characteristics of an exceptional presenter. And I, for myself, as a writer, as a public speaker, I try to study other writers and other public speakers, and I try to see if I have some of the characteristics, if I have some of the things that what it takes, you know. And one thing I like in his book, he talks about the 60-20 rule. He says here, arrive 60 minutes before you are scheduled to present. Use the first 40 minutes to prepare the room, seating, notes, AV equipment, handouts, and props. The 20 minutes prior to your presentation is prime time for introduction, information gathering, and rapport building. Own the room. You're responsible for the success or failure of the session. When the audience arrives, turn your undivided attention to meeting and greeting. Introduce audience members to one another. Be a conversation starter. So again, do you have what it takes? Do you have what it takes to go to that next level? Do you have what it takes to be that person that people want to see? And the last thing I want to say from the book here on page 111, it says here, audience members who expect to participate may pay close attention to those who don't expect to participate. So include your audience. Give them a role to play. You know, let them be part of the process. Because, again, the final analysis, you know, is not so much what we present, but how we present it. And one last thing that he talks about is your appearance. I mean, you have to go up on that stage, and you have to really make people want to say, you know what, I like the way that guy looks. I like the way that girl looks. I want to pay attention to that person because, you know what, I want to be like that person. So, again, no more ordinary, no more average. We want to be exceptional. And, again, this book here, The Exceptional Presenter, A Proven Formula to Open Up and Own the Room, that Timothy J. Cagle, is the book that you really need in your library if you're serious about being an exceptional presenter. And really, at this time, you know, we have to have the competitive edge. We really have to stand out in a sea of great entrepreneurs. But you want to be the greater. You want to be exceptional.
Wow, that's good. That's good. You know, for anybody who even thinking about getting up to speak, you know, definitely has to go back and listen. If they didn't hear, take notes during this presentation, they're going to have to go back and listen to the archives.
Yep.
You know, it's just so important that, you know, you come off clear and confident, you know, as you're trying to reach your goals and the success that you're trying to achieve in life. You want to be able to really communicate yourself well wherever you go. Communications is the heart of relating to people.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, you know, sometimes we take it for granted, but you know what? Sometimes we have to look at, you know, the people that draw our attention, you know, like the ministers and the public speaking people that we encounter, the teachers. You know, we got to understand that, you know, they don't just jump up there. You know, people say, "Wow, you have a gift, you're talented." I wish I did. I mean, because to tell the truth, and we talked about this before, I'm an introvert, really. I'm an introvert acting as an extrovert, so therefore I got to really be on top of my game because I'd rather be in the audience, you know, enjoying the presentation. But when I have to present, I have to be really on point. And this book is really so good because it really gives you some really practical tools that you can really use. I mean, it makes me laugh when I think about all the information that we have out there for people to be the better than they ever thought they could be. But for some reason, they just don't pick up on it, you know?
Yes. So that's so glad that you were able to share that. Give us the book one more time so people can go out and get, you know, copy and get practicing.
Well, that's the thing, because this is a book that you can use. See, a lot of times you read a book and you just mentally deal with it, but this is a book you can use in a very real way. And the book's entitled The Exceptional Presenter, subtitled A Proven Formula to Open Up and Own the Room. And this is by Timothy J. Cagle.
Yeah, I have that.
Wow, you do? Wow.
Yeah. Keep talking. I'll run and get it.
Because this is a book that, I mean, I think everybody should have in their library because, again, you can never get enough of this type of information because, like I said, you never know when you might be able to give a presentation and you want to always be prepared. You don't want to stumble and bumble around because that's not a good look. You want to make sure you are the kind of person that is fully prepared. It's like I say, like all entrepreneurs should get into the habit of having their business cards with them. I never leave my house without at least 10 to 20 business cards because you never know. You want people to understand that you are serious about what you do. And having the business cards, presenting yourself in a particular way is very, very important. Now, you never want to be caught out there unprepared for what you have to do. And people appreciate it when you present yourself in a good way, because it makes them feel good about themselves as well. It makes them feel that they're part of something that's very, very important. And I think people need to have that sense of importance, because the audience is important, and that's why we show our respect as speakers by being prepared to give the best presentation that we can possibly give.
Yeah, and like you were saying about that, being prepared, you know, and taking every opportunity as an opportunity to be prepared, or we demonstrate or get ready and do, you know, it's so interesting, because I was talking to some students one yesterday, and I was saying a lot of times when you see someone hit the stage and when they go, ta-da, you know, they didn't just wake up and go, ta-da. No, years, and when you get to the ta-da stage, you have put in years and years and years and years of practice.
You have. I mean, I like what Malcolm Gladwell says in his book, The Outliers. He said that, you know, if you want to be top in your field, you have to put in 10,000 hours. And that's a good number for some reason. That really inspired me. 10,000 hours. That seems right, just about right to me, you know.
Well, and they also say that, you know, when it comes to being an expert, to being, you know, the top of your game, you look at, people say, well, how do I become an expert? What can I become an expert in? And you become an expert in the thing that you know how to do very well,
that you
have a lot of knowledge about, that you have a lot of experience in. So at that point, it could be parenting, it could be baking, it could be writing, whatever you have a lot of knowledge of and a lot of experience doing, you know, jot those things down on paper and then say, okay, now fill in the gaps. What don't you know about those areas? You've written down everything you know and all of your experiences. Now, what don't you know, go read some books, do some research, watch a movie, whatever you got to do.
Wow.
Now you are a sufficient, efficient expert in that particular subject or field.
Oh, I love that. You know, and one of the things I know that, you know, when you enjoy what you do, it's infectious. I mean, I look forward to every Tuesday morning to come on the show and spend time with you, and it always goes so fast. But again, I think when you're talking about being exceptional, I like what he says here on page 121. He says here, exceptional presenters are natural. Their style is conversational, and they look completely at ease in front of any audience. A presentation by a natural presenter sounds lively, it flows easily, and though it is well rehearsed, it does not sound scripted, stiff, stilted, or canned. Natural is making it look like you've done it 1,000 times before. Natural presenters are fluid, their eye contact is engaging, and their voice is easy to listen to. They are conversational, they're open, they're engaging, they're spontaneous, they're off the cuff, quick to respond, they have a captivating smile, and they have a comfortable laugh. I mean, these are things of joy, and people love to have a good time. You know, that's the bottom line. When I go to speak, man, I'm out there, you know, to rock and roll, man. I'm out there to just, you know, tear the roof off the sucker. I'm out there to have a good time, and I want you to come in and join in with me, you know. it's a party up in here, as Les Brown likes to say. It's party time. You're going to have a good time.
Well, you know, I'm in that same boat. That's
I know you are. I know you are.
So I just love how, you know, these topics that you pick, though I don't help you select them. But I feel as though I did.
Yeah, you do. Well, because we're on the same wavelength. And it's so funny, you know, I've seen you public speak many times. And the first time that I saw you public speak, it sort of shook me, you know, because you have a different voice. You have a different voice when you're public speaking than you usually talk, you know. And I said, wow. I said, who is this, you know?
Right.
And it was so great because I saw you in a whole another light. But I think, but that's what you do, because, you know, like I tell my students, you know, when I'm on the street, I'm dressed in jeans and sneakers and that kind of stuff, you know. But when I'm going to work, it's a different persona because I'm doing a different thing. And I'm dressing, I'm performing. And when I see you, I mean, I tell you, you're one of my favorite speakers because you're always well-dressed, you're always well-prepared, and your vocal presentation is, like, up to the 15th level and going higher, you know? And I really love when you do that, but I think that's what speakers do. It is a different type of conversation, you know?
Well, Terry, one of the things when I present in front of when I'm at any platform and I'm speaking, I talk too loud, and then I have to turn it down.
Uh-huh.
One thing that I always try to do is project out so that the person way in the back can also hear. You know, I don't want people.
I get that from you.
I don't want people sitting in the back going, "What did they say? I wish they would."
Yeah, right. Yes.
So I'm always cognizant of the person way in the back of the room, even if there's like 100 people in the room or more. I mean, hopefully, you know, the people will have microphones, but let's face it, sometimes there's not.
Yes.
Like you said, you got to be prepared for all things when you're a speaker. Sometimes there's not a microphone, so you can't talk in your voice for when it's just you and one other person. You can't talk in your one-on-one voice and when you're in a group.
You're right, and like you said, I mean, you got to be prepared for anything because that's why a lot of times I don't try to depend solely on PowerPoint and those kind of things, you know, because sometimes those things can go wrong. I mean, something can happen with the PA system and that kind of thing. And like I said, I think when I hear you do project. I don't ever have to say what did she say, because you know you put it out there. But I guess you look at the audience too and see if you need to turn it down or whatever. But it's important that you realize that I'm in control of this. You know, I'm the one that has to be responsible for this. You know, you can't blame it on a PA system or I don't have a podium, you know, and that kind of thing. You know, you have to be really flexible, especially when you travel to different places, you know, because you never know, you know, what's going to happen. That's why I like his rule, the 60-20 rule, you know. Try to get there, you know, at least 60 minutes before you present. You know, and use that first 20 minutes to really engage that audience because it's 60-20. But the 60 is you getting prepared before the presentation so you can give your best. And I tell you, boy, I know when I present, people have a good time, but because they know I'm in charge of the situation, I've seen other speakers, you know, who fumble and bumble and use cards and speak from the cards and that kind of thing. And an audience really, it makes the audience uncomfortable. And they can't really enjoy it because they don't know what you're going to do to mess up next. And so they can't enjoy the presentation. But when it's smooth, when it's flowing, and you're having fun up there, oh, they have fun as well.
That's a good point. Yeah. And so, I told you, I said, Terry, I definitely want to teach public speaking class. And you gave me some pointers. And I ended up the very next semester teaching a public speaking course at the Wise Women's Center. And then I taught for them the following semester. And so this semester coming up fall, God willing, I will be teaching my third semester, the public speaking class.
Oh, that's so great. That is so great. And I find, again, you know, when you do something and you do it well, people want you to do it more.
That's a good point, Barry.
Yeah, they give you opportunities, you know, and that's why, you know, my whole thing, I was telling a young man, you know, he said that he is a rapper, he puts beats together. I said, well, you know, why don't you, you know, send me some of your work so I can listen. He said, no, I don't want to do that because I said, why? Because somebody might steal it. I said, let me help you understand something. First of all, as a new musician, you have to get your work out there. Don't worry about anybody stealing it. And if they steal it, good, because you got a good suit going on. Okay, I think sometimes we get too much of ourselves. You know, I'm sorry. You know, you are not at the point where people are going to steal from you. Right now you need to give, you know. And I think that you need to give to get, because if you don't give, you won't get anything. You know, you keep all that stuff to yourself. You got to share. I'm I'm so generous because I tell people I'm a writer. And I think writing is probably one of the most selfish things you could do in the sense that most of the time I'm in this office by myself, you know, reading or writing, you know, away from my family, that kind of stuff. So when I'm with my, when I am with my family and my friends, I am overly generous because I know there'll be times when I won't be available to them. But again, don't hoard your talents, you know. Share your talents because I find the more you give, guess what, the more you have to give. And that's why public speaking is so important. You know, you speak from your heart, and you speak from your soul, you get that information out, you inspire people, and you let them inspire you as well. And again, and don't be average about it. Be exceptional because you know what? At this point, good is just not good enough. There's a lot of good speakers out there, but you want to rise above the fray, and you can only do that by being exceptional, not being better than anybody, but just being the best presenter that you can possibly be. And so get the book. It's, again, The Exceptional Presenter by Timothy J. Cagle. It's a bestseller, and it's a bestseller for a reason. This book is very, very valuable and very, very helpful.
Well, we had that was our textbook for our public speaking course.
Oh, what?
Undergrad program, and then my graduate program. No, undergrad. We had to take that course at Fairleigh Dickinson. And I remember the professor who taught the course, that was the book we had to use. And he was a corporate speech writer.
Wow.
Corporate writer and also, you know, a speaker as well, but he had taught public speaking for many, many years at Fairleigh Dickinson. I'm not even sure if he's still there.
There's
a required course there for all undergraduates. And a lot of schools do have public speaking as a required, not just an elective, but a required course.
Well, and Lisa, I think that every college student should have a public speaking class. And I tell you what, and I tell my kids too, I think that every college student should have a theater class, not just because you're going to be a great actor, but you have to know, like an actor, when to turn it on. Because I know sometimes, and probably you, Lisa, as well, sometimes, you know, the last thing that you want to do is go into class for an hour or hour and a half when you would like to be in the park. I mean, I like to take my wife over to New York and Manhattan, walk around and just be with her, you know. But I got to go to class. And maybe sometimes I might not even feel well, you know what. But because of my acting training, because of my public speaking training, I can turn it on. I can make you think that I'm in the best of health. I might not feel well, but you know what? You don't need to know that. That's not your business. That's not your concern. You're there to be educated, and you're there to be inspired. And that's my job, whether or not I feel well or not. And that's why public speaking and I think theater training, because that teaches you poise, that teaches you control of your instrument, which is your body and your voice. So, I can't understand why more people don't just study. You know, studying would make you so much more valuable to yourself and to your community. And in final analysis, I mean, we're here not to give. I mean, not to get, but we're here to give. And I feel the more I give, guess what, the more I get. And I get it back in ways that I could not imagine. I mean, this radio show that we do together is a gift that I when I met you, I never thought that we'd be doing the radio program. But again, it's because we have grown together, we have shared with each other, and we have built each other up. And so, I mean, this is a culmination of that. And I tell you, Lisa, you know, I want to prophesy. I think this is just the beginning of what you and I are going to do. You know, we had to start somewhere, and I think it's a good start, but we're going to take it further than that. Because, again, I mean, I think about being exceptional. I mean, it's so funny when I choose books, and you know, I choose the books without even, you know, talking to you, and it's so funny how we come together. And, you know, and I always say, you know, I like to say when we talk about our relationship that great minds think alike, and the people who listen to us, you know, they are great minds. And, again, the things I talk about, they're going to get it sooner or later. But you know what? Through the program, we get it to them sooner. How about that?
Yes. That, you know, and people really need, in a time like this with so many people going through various traumatic situations and things, again, I said over and over and over, boy, oh boy, I would love to be in a position when situations happened like what happened in, you know, Colorado, Arizona, what happened in Boston and Connecticut, I would love to, you know, get on a plane, get on a train or bus or whatever, get up there, hold, and when those people are in those mass gathering places, and get on that stage and be able to hit them with some, and you as well, I'm sure, to be able to hit some empowerment and some motivation to get up, to rise back up. What a speaking audience we'd have.
Oh, no doubt about it. And again, they need to, because, again, I mean, the whole thing with coaching is so key right now, because, again, we have the talents, we have the abilities, we have the skills, but sometimes it's hard for us to get into the game, and that's why we need the coaching, we need the training, and we need the people like you and I who just want to share. That's all. You know, when I people, you know, if people say that I'm a good teacher, it's only because I feel I'm a good sharer. You know, if I read something, if I see something, I want to share with somebody. And my enthusiasm, my passion comes through in the sharing, because I'm having such a good time, you know. And when I connect with an audience and appreciate that, oh, man, you know, it couldn't get any better. It couldn't get any better because, again, this is what I feel that I was put here to do.
You know? Terry, this is the only thing, you know, and Terry, you know, you and I go way back to 1991 when I first came to Union.
Oh, man, please, yes.
And I was at a meeting, actually, on Friday, the best practices meeting they had down there in Atlantic City somewhere.
Okay.
At Atlantic County College. But and I still definitely want to find out how the other meeting that you were at went, that I was at. I had to leave. So I want to contact you about that one, the one about the prison.
Okay, but we'll talk about that, yeah.
I need to find out what happened after I left, but because I did get an email, but I wasn't quite sure how to respond because I didn't hear the rest of it. But here's the thing. I said, only thing, Terry, I can have to fault you for this, and I have to do it in open. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, please. No, okay. Yeah.
But when I came to that college, you should have said to me, because I was going after whatever degree, blah, blah, blah. You should have said, woman, you, girl, student, whatever.
Whatever you prefer.
Whatever you prefer. You don't know what you're supposed to be. You should be going for the major of, you know, blah, 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 blah. You should have seen that I was going to end up.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
A speaker and blah, blah, blah. No, I'm only teasing you, but
I know you are. I know you are. But you know what? It's so funny because, again, like, I saw something in you, you know, that first encounter, you know. So I couldn't articulate it, but I you know, it's so funny, you know, sometimes when I'm out and I'm speaking and whatnot, and sometimes old friends come up to me, people I hadn't seen in years, and they say, no, I'm not even surprised. I'm not even surprised what you're doing. I'm not surprised how you're living, because you know what? I saw that in you. You know,
I got a friend like
see,
Sarah. She says that to me all the time. But it was a woman from your college. I have to give all the credit, or the majority of the credit for my speaking has to go to a woman. I wished I could remember her name. One day I'll probably find it on an old homework paper. But
yeah,
she was a math teacher, and she was from St. Aloysius in Jersey City. That's where she taught school. But she was an adjunct at Union. She was math professor and in a math class of all classes.
Wow.
Between her and Judy Mayer. Judy Mayer was another one. Judy Mayer.
Wasn't
actually,
she something? Yes, yes.
And you, but Judy actually invited me into her classrooms at UCC to speak. And this was while I was still a student. She invited me from her. I took her class, and she invited me into other classes. But it was
something. But you know, another champion of yours was Rohope Moen, you know, who taught Spanish for so many years. I mean, she was singing your praises to the high heavens, you know.
She did. No, she told me to run for office of the United States. I mean, of New Jersey, and actually did Betty Foster. But here's the woman, the first person was this math teacher who told me, who invited, she said, you're a speaker. And I was, and this is in my math class. And I said, are you sure? She says, yes. She says, I'm going to put you down for career day at my school, and I want you to come over and talk to my ninth grade class. And I said, talk about what? She said, tell them about how you ended up in college going from a high school dropout. And that pretty much started it. And I went from there, and I said, what do I do now? She said, I want you to call different high schools and tell them that you'll come in and talk to their students. And the first school that I called said yes, and that was Abraham Clark